We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, hello, and hi to your Miami Heat Beat postgame show. I am your host for the night with the most, more than some of our guys had tonight. Siobhan, here with me is the intern, Pablo, and even more snacks in the fucking back. Just the commentary just keeps growing.
No, I actually ran out, so.
Nope.
There's a bunch of empty boxes back there. Nope. I actually ran out.
Even worse.
He got props.
Like, that's even worse. With me, my road dogs to my bottom left, bottom right. Frankie, say hello to the people.
Consecutive losses in the same exact way. Who said this team is inconsistent?
Yep. Tiffany, say hello to the people.
Well.
Okay.
We here.
All right. And that's what type of show we got tonight. You know, yeah, man, to Frankie's point, consecutive losses in a similar fashion going down to the Mavs last night, going down to the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight, you know, two teams with MVP-ish candidates and two games that we could have and should have won. Frankie, give me just the general vibe check. How you feel?
Rough patch. I think both teams threw some coverages that the Heat clearly struggled with. Jimmy Bam both struggled with. Jimmy kind of figured it out a little bit more tonight, but you could see he was still struggling to score. He hasn't gotten to the line as efficiently. Bam, obviously, his terrible shooting night, terrible decision. Today just looked completely disengaged, disemboweled.
Yes. Ooh, disavow. Innards just spilt out on the into the heart.
But you know, there's stuff that I think they can work on that can progress to the playoffs, and they have a lot of time to fix and work on. I'd rather see these kind of performances and issues right now than the playoffs.
Tiffany said playoffs. We talking about playoffs, not
we
practice.
About playoffs. We gotta get to. Let's get to practice first, Frank.
Well, they can work. They can work in the play-in. Okay.
There you go.
Play-in's more like it.
Tiff, vibe check. How you feel after a couple nights?
Man, so I think I lean with Frankie where I saw some things that they can work on. I saw some really good things from the children's that will propel them moving forward, which is what they need. Because this is not a one man band.
Mm-hmm. Can't be one band, one sound. Hell no.
I don't know if everybody's still just like waiting, but y'all gonna be waiting. Right? Yeah. Because if we haven't noticed, Jimmy is trying his damnedest to get everybody into some kind of flow, to get everybody some looks, to get everybody shots, to get everybody feeling good about themselves. Because this playoffs, if we get there, it's not going to look like last year. So we're gonna need every little bit from every single person.
Tiff, you and I, we talk about that a lot. Explain to the people a little bit, to those who it might not be so evident to, because, you know, we feel like that's kind of been his MO, you know, the whole season. Tyler, bam, right. The rest of y'all, come with me. Like, y'all know, I know when it's time to really put rubber to road, what I'm capable of, what I'm going to do. I can't do it by myself. I can't get through these 82 games plus these next 16 plus by myself. You know, so what are some of the things on the floor that indicate to you, especially tonight, that Jimmy is like, hey, y'all, you know, come run with me, roll with me?
I think the funniest thing is he played the exact same way tonight that he played last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people didn't quite notice it because we're yelling at him to take more shots. Jimmy's never been a more shot guy. He's always lived in between 12 to 15 a night. That's where he's lived. The reality is, and I don't know if people have noticed, but since that Brooklyn game that they won in overtime, he's been seeing so many more double teams. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if people have even noticed that. And the one thing that we have to love about Jimmy is that he's a willing passer. So what he's trying to do is, as soon as that double comes, and he's had some turnovers, which is, you know, uncharacteristic of him, but he's trying to get that ball out of his hands quickly to the open guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to make sure the ball keeps moving, and he's just trying to inspire what I would think is some confidence, because the way that he's being guarded and the way that Bam's being guarded, there is no room for them to be forcing anything. You got to pass the ball out to open guys. So you might, going forward, see less shots by Bam, which we might need to see less shots by Bam. Let's be honest. If he's being doubled, there shouldn't be any forcing. That means somebody is open. Let that ball pop out and let it rotate and find the open hands. So we might see less shots by Jimmy, and we might see less shots by Bam. But what was beautiful tonight, Jaime was the recipient of a lot of those passes, and he made a lot of good things happen. Let me pass the ball because I don't want to hog.
Are you fine? Pablo, I'm going to come to you in a second. You're talking about, you know, Jimmy being the recipient of many more, you know, doubles since, you know, it's gone on for a little while now. Last night, G had a beautiful call out, and he was spot on in that Dallas was sending the double to Jimmy after he had already begun his move. And then I jumped in with, you know, that's so important because Jimmy is pretty much a one-line driver. Jimmy's not going to give you a bunch of escape dribbles. Jimmy's not going to give you too many tween-tweens, behind-behinds, not much of that. So if he's already into his drive, and then you bring the second, you know, and Jimmy is mostly going to drive middle. He ain't really driving baseline too much. The most you'll see him baseline is when he's flashing kind of as the baseline cutter. So if Jimmy's driving middle, right, I'm already starting my drive, and then you send the double, you've choked me up, and you've probably kind of clogged some of that opposite wing cutting type of stuff. Frankie, you talked about some coverages that you saw tonight from OKC that you thought gave him and Bam trouble. You know, talk a little bit about what those were.
I think a little bit is, you know, you talked about the doubles and sending it from the on the attack. Bam just struggles with the doubles, period. And I think a big he recognized it a little earlier today a couple times, just couldn't punish it. And I think a big proponent of it that the Heat have to really work on is their spacing on the double when they're setting up for the low post. I like when they do the post split actions. I'd rather post up from post split actions than just the post and space, because their spacing's awful, and the help side defense can just pick on Bam's weak handle and weak ball security. But even when Jimmy does it too, like, the spacing's poor. There's always a guy in the weak side dunker spot. There's two guys. There's one guy in the weak side corner, one guy like slightly above him, and even when the ball skips to the weak side, one guy can guard two because the spacing is so poorly. And they can recover real quick because they can go back and forth. And when you're not when the Heat don't have guys, and the Heat don't have a lot of guys that are quick trigger on the three besides Patty Mills, who we saw tonight. So with that hesitation from Caleb, that hesitation from Jaime, from anybody on the weak side, it just ruins the spacing, ruins the advantage that was created from the double. And they have to work on punishing that, because that's free chance, free shot. We should get a layup, or we should get an open three. And they too often times it ends up in a contested shot or a turnover.
Frankie, I know you and I talked about it a lot. The PJ era, the PJ days, those were hammer screens. Those were pinnings. Those were like using the closeness of each other's body to actually try to do something to create an advantage to then kind of play off of, right? And now it's a lot there. I feel like they're doing so many more sending that dunker spot cutter, sending that like baseline cutter. And it works maybe 60% of the time for them. And then you have instances. This one today was just like kind of an anomaly. Bam caught that shit on the short roll, and just in his head, Jaime was directly under the basket. Jaime was like, nope, I'm already to the left side of the basket. And he just bounced that whole directly out of bounds. Bro, like just completely predetermined. But like those are, I don't know, there's like some give and take and some stuff that does work for them, and that does like bite them in the ass, and they struggle with like picking the spots, I feel.
But you mentioned the pin downs from the dunker spot. There was one play, I think it was Jimmy, and I think it was in the first quarter, that Jimmy's driving baseline, got cut off, Bam's on the dunker spot, and he's trying to seal it because there's like 3 seconds left. Dunk is in the corner ready for the shot, and Jimmy throws it to Bam, and he takes the baseline jumper that he airballs. I'm like, he's got it right there. Like, we're just like little things just like that can make it beautiful, turn a beautiful play into a horrible play.
It's like stuff that we've completely stopped looking for given a difference of personnel. And like, while we have different personnel and don't do those things as often, when we do them, we got to kind of recognize when they're happening. Pablo, how did you feel tonight about the team as a whole offensively? And then specifically Bam. I don't want to end on Bam. I don't want to end on a sour note. I want to, you know, give Bam his time, and we can actually talk about him, because, you know, it's been rough. But Pablo, how'd you feel collectively, offensively, and then Bam specifically?
It felt, at the beginning, the first half, it felt good. We were hitting shots. Patty came in with a spark off the bench. Jimmy started really aggressively in the beginning. Bam was probably the only one that was iffy on offense at the start. But then after that second half, it was just a typical Heat third quarter where the offense just fucking shit the bed. We were playing great. We held the Thunder on great defense. And then our bad side came out, which was our really bad offense, where we just start spam Jimmy, drive-ins. He gets doubled, kick out. And we weren't hitting our shots outside of Jaime. So, like, once we have to rely on Jimmy every single time, our offense just goes to shit. And did we hit 100 points today? I think we had 100 on the dot. So like, we just, when we can't shoot, when we have to rely so much on Jimmy, our offense just goes really down. And I just wish we didn't have to rely on Jimmy. I wish Bam had a better game, because if Bam has a better game, I think we win this game. He was one for 9 from the field on easy bunnies under the basket. So it's a rough patch with Bam. It's been like that for a couple games, but I think he'll bounce back, and then our offense will look better. Our offense always looks better once we're hitting threes. And today it was just we outside of Jaime and Patty and Duncan. I think Duncan hit 3 threes, but he was like 3 for 8, 3 for 9. But that's just how I felt about the offense.
Yeah, Duncan was 3 for 8. Nikola was 1 for 3. Terry, 2 for 4. Patty, 3 for 4. Jaime and Caleb, 1 for 4.
I like how Terry played. I forgot to mention that. I did like how Terry played. He was hitting some timely buckets in the fourth quarter, but outside of that, our offense was pretty shit today.
We'll come back to Terry, because Terry's put together a cool little stretch. Pablo, you were just talking about the shooting. Tiff, you've been saying for a while, you know, very very like duh and very matter of fact, you know, they first of all they just need period, but you know, they need shooting. Mm-hmm. And boom, enter the Australian wonder Patty Mills. And it always feels like whenever we bring like everything that not, I don't even think Patty's a reclamation project, right? Patty has had a solid career. Patty ain't had, you know, no whole bunch of rigmarole like us outside of the court, right? But you know, a known marksman, someone who an Olympic legend, right? Like a Team USA killer, but that's veteran presence, that's experience, that's tutelage, right? You've now coached, you've been coached by Greg Popovich, and now you are being coached by Eric Spoelstra. I just feel like, I tweeted this, I just feel like you got to retire after this because I don't know like what else you're supposed to go to after being, you know, coached by those two. But what did you see from Patty? And obviously we saw the shot making, but how tangibly, you know, again, obviously shot making, you know, creates space, but what are the ways in which Patty multifacetedly helps this group?
I think for me with him, it's that he's not reluctant to shoot. Like we keep forgetting that you have to be a willing shooter. Yeah. Like hit or miss, you got to be willing. And I swear that ball was not in his hands 3 seconds.
Frankie tweeted, Frankie was like, has Patty passed yet? He said, I'm here to shoot and that's it.
It's such a nice release too.
But his, but here's the funny thing too. Where we know at this stage of his career, his defense isn't going to be, you know, outerworldly. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Very that. Extreme. It wasn't as bad.
You got a charge. Exactly. You got a charge.
Well, two charges.
Yeah. Exactly. But he was moving his feet. He was aware where his man was. He was aware where the ball was.
He was communicating.
He was communicating. He was talking. And that's just literally all you could ask for out of a 112-year-old Patty Mills. Like, that's it. You can't get much more. I think the interesting part is that where I guess we have to figure out, because you got to play him.
Mm-hmm. I want to touch on, this is part of the conversation I want to touch on at the end, but you're right.
Okay.
Keep going. I'm going to bring it back.
Yeah, I think like, because no, not every night is he going to shoot the cover off the ball, but every night you have to respect the shot.
Yep.
And we don't have enough players that are respected as pure shooters. So I think you got to figure out a way to carve out minutes with him on the court and make sure it's a cohesive unit around him as far as defensively. Because that's what he brings. Like you can't put it any other way. You can't look at, you know, 99% of the team and say they bring shooting, because they don't. They shoot. They don't bring shooting.
You say that all the time. We have people that can shoot. We don't have shooters.
Right. So that's where for me it gets a little dicey, because I can't see a world where we're down by like 7 and we can't score that he doesn't touch the court. And not only that, him and Duncan on both sides.
Man, I thought for a split second they subbed Patty and Nicola out. They subbed somebody and Nicola out. But Patty came in for the sub for whoever was the somebody. And in my head, and it's the first game, so I know Spo's not going to, you know, show all of his hand. But I thought for a split second, right, we were finna get Patty Mills and Duncan Robinson minutes. I tweeted, I said, it's peanut Duncan Patty time. And it was not. And it was not. And I was pissed. I'm like, oh, I thought we were. But I agree. Like, you know, you have the ability now to have two respected shooters. Guys, you got to chase too. Like Patty will run. Yeah. Patty's going to move. Yes. So you got two bodies who are going to cause, you know, types of all of these types of things on the floor. So, you know, that's I'm excited for his integration. Frankie, I'll come to you, and then Pablo, I'll come to you because you kind of let us into it. Another guy whose integration I feel like is coming on well. Another solid night for Terry. Frankie, how have you felt about Terry tonight, Terry yesterday, and just where you have seen Terry's wrinkles with this team kind of start to smooth themselves out?
He's finding his comfort. He's finding his gaps to attack, not force the issue, just within the flow of the offense, just taking control when on a swing, being aggressive, taking the shot, taking the attack. I still want to get the pick and roll game going a little bit better. I feel like he's too passive on there. I want to see him be a little bit more aggressive to trying to get to the cup in the pick and roll. But he's just been really decisive and aggressive for the most part, taking care of the basketball, which, you know, something Spo really prioritizes from his guards. Yep. One turnover again tonight, four assists.
Yep.
At one turnover. Like that's great job taking care of the ball. Little things like I felt every time Shea hit a big shot that got the crowd going, Terry was right there with an answer. Yep. It was a quiet scoring night. He only had 14, but I felt like every one of those baskets was like at a crucial moment where they needed it. It wasn't a very efficient night for him, but I felt mostly fine. Like it was a good enough performance. If Bam shows up, they probably win this game, and we're just satisfied with Terry's performance. I'm still satisfied with it, but you know, wanted to get the dub really badly.
Yeah, Pablo, you mentioned Terry. What have you liked about Terry coming into and just ingratiating himself, you know, more and more with this group?
I like that he actually gets to the rim and that he's a threat to get to the rim. Instead of he will settle for mid ranges and threes. But when he sees a mismatch, he will attack the paint. And today there was one move where I don't remember who was guarding him. I think it was Shea, where he got him with the cross between the legs and he got to the basket really easily. So like, I love his explosiveness to the basket. And I think he's just accumulating himself to he's finding his role little by little in this offense. And the moment he, like how Frankie said, the moment he can start abusing the pick and roll, like how he was doing in Charlotte, I think our offense will get better. Cause then, if he gets doubled, it can be a dump off to Bam, or he throws it to the corner. So Terry, I think he's fine. I think last game he was great. Today, fine. He was making those buckets, like how you said. He had 14, but like it was like a loud 14. You know what I mean? It felt like he was like, it felt like he had like 25 today. Yep. In reality, it didn't.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention we missed Kevin Love. This offense misses Kevin Love.
Man. Why are we here? Why is this where we are?
We holy miss crap. Kevin Love. If we had Kevin Love out there, we have floor spaces.
In the year of our Lord, 2024
of them things.
We need
Kevin Love has seen all 2024.
Bro, Kevin was hooping back then with James in a peach basket.
Exactly.
That man just got a profound understanding. He's one of the inventors of the game. You definitely miss that guy. And you miss him on the inside. You miss his size. You miss his rebounding. And then
his
you miss
rebounding.
Him. Oh. Man.
I miss his floor spacing too.
And yep, I was going to say that. Then you miss him, what he can do, you know, stretching the floor for you. Tiff, we were in you and I's personal chat, and there came a point in the game where you felt like, you know, we should have just been playing through this guy. Mm-hmm. Jaime has come back alive. We're out of the clear, I hope, of that groin, and you know, just aggressive back to being kind of the footwork, like the solid him around the basket. His hooks and like his really close range shots sometimes stress me out because they feel flatter than I guess they are, but he measures like just how much he needs to kind of get it over the rim, but without getting it too high. I'm thinking as not to give a defender, you know, enough space to kind of go up and get it. Talk about Jaime tonight and where it was in the game where you felt like we should have been playing through him, even if it doesn't, even if he's not the one ending possessions, you know, taking shots, but just getting him touches in his spots and then moving therefore.
I think, and I can't remember exactly when I said it to you, but mm-hmm. it was after we lost the lead. Mm-hmm. And then he hit like two baskets and he got taken out. And then OKC went on another run. And I felt like at that point, he was pretty much the only one that was in a groove. Okay. And he was getting shot. He was getting shots everywhere on the floor that he wanted. Yep. Like there wasn't one spot he couldn't get to. And I thought in that moment, because Jimmy was doing a lot of playmaking and rebounding, that was mm-hmm. the moment. And yep. I think this is when Nikola was at the five. So at that moment, I felt like this is when we should have been playing through Jaime. And then obviously you've got Jimmy there if you need a fail safe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I just felt like at them, because he was getting everything he wanted. And he just, Spo trusted him to play through the foul trouble early. And interesting enough, he didn't look winded going down to crunch yep. time in this game. The yep. last couple of weeks, he's looked winded. Tonight, he actually looked like he was playing with a really good pace, like he mm-hmm. was conserving his energy as he was going. And I just thought that was the moment where if you are going to, and to be perfectly honest, if you're going to lose this game,
yeah,
then you need to lose it that way, because he's the one that has the rhythm right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, as he was doing his thing, like you mentioned, it was kind of, or as during the time where he could have been being relied on a bit more, my other child, you know, kind of was. And I think Frankie tonight and then Pablo, we saw a lot of Nikola as the backup five, right? And historically, like in the beginning of kind of the, hey, how can we get Nikola some minutes? Maybe it's not at the five, because I don't want to see him trying to guard people at the five, having to contest at the rim. One, I think he's gotten much better. The block he had today, his timing's gotten better. He could still be using his strength a bit more. Frankie, to your point, you make it a lot, initiating contact in his drives and kind of in his post-ups and things like that. But tonight we saw him at the five. They opened the game with their patented cross screen, bring somebody to the ball. 95% of the time that somebody we're bringing to the ball is Bam. They opened the game tonight doing it for Nikola. Few possessions later, they inverted it, went back to how they typically do it. There was a stretch, I think it was the fourth quarter, where they spammed like three or four straight possessions, cross screen for Nikola, getting Nikola in the extended, off the extended right block, and just letting whatever kind of happen from there. The one he had the turnaround, and then he kicked it out, I think, to Terry. Terry kicked it to Jimmy. Jimmy kicked it to whoever that was in the corner. We got a three. And then he just played out of it. Nine problem says we also need to understand when it's late in the game.
We need to understand that. I don't think we need to understand that. Who balling? Get the ball. We don't have the luxury. I'm to sorry like to interrupt.
But
we don't
no,
have
fine.
The luxury. We don't have the luxury to say it's the end of the game. Let me just give the ball to Jimmy and Terry. That's not. Yeah.
Terry's not. Terry isn't consistent enough, and Jimmy doesn't have. Jimmy's play style is not one that facilitates that type of things like with ease. Jimmy is trying to like brutalize people. If you had Shea, like cool, Shea got all the wiggles, Luka big as hell, Giannis, all these other people are big as hell. They have like kind of really, really obvious offensive advantages. Jimmy ain't got that. Terry don't have that. But shout out to you, Nine Problems.
Jimmy has to get to the line.
We love you. Jimmy got to get to the line. What did he he shot like four free throws tonight?
Six.
Frankie, Nikola out of the extended post and just his – no, I'll keep it to the game. Not his progression so far over the season, but just him out of the post and being trusted more with the ball in his hand and playmaking situations that aren't at the high key in your typical pick and roll or like picking apart from the top type of areas. What do you think it was that they liked with it tonight, and why did they continue to go to it? Or then what did you like?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I like that it makes them move off the ball and not in each other's way. Then when they're normally trying to like post up and drive and say, like they love to do like a pick and roll and then somebody else cut into the action as well. Mm-hmm. And so six guys are running into the paint and there's not a lot of space. There's no vertical spacing. They're not throwing a lob to Bam. They're not the ball handler isn't a guy who's threatening to dunk it either. So just bringing extra bodies and instead of creating space on the weak side. So it's making, it's keeping it the weak side help occupied, and it's causing confusion because they do a great job when they do the post splits. I tweeted about that. I can see like Duncan setting a back screen for Jimmy. It, you can run that 100 times a game, and I will be happy every 100 times because
Jimmy set the back screen for Patty one time. Patty. I don't know what the fuck Jimmy's defender was doing. Patty got the layup. They ran it immediately again, back to back. They adjusted. But yeah, that back screening post play action from either Jimmy, Duncan, all that type shit works well for them.
Yeah, because it immediately goes. You, if you miscommunicate, Jimmy slips, gets a layup. Mm-hmm. If you switch, Jimmy's got a mismatch on whoever was guarding Duncan because it's usually a guard or a skinny guy. If you switch and defend it well, you can get Duncan into a DHO and a real easy come off wide open on a DHO pull up or find a Bam on the roll. So they have options on that. That's what I love to see. But like back to Nico, I love his passing versatility really opens up things because I laugh like twice a game when he's throwing an entry pass from the wing.
No one's ready.
He's throwing a post entry pass. There's a guy in the corner and he's still throwing it into the dunker spot right to Jimmy. Perfect touch, perfect passing. He can throw a little slot pass, a little side pass. He can skip it to the weak side, and he's looking. He's got his head up. He's not. I'm worried. The next step for him is to be a more of an offensive scoring threat because teams are going to start playing him, pressing him to beat them. Go ahead, beat us one on one. But his passing just opens up a lot for them. He's a willing passer. He's not. He doesn't care how many shots he puts up. He wants mm-hmm. to get. He wants to play. He wants to move the ball, and it brings energy. You talk a lot about how energy is contagious, and the ball will find energy. And Nico, it's like he's like a monster in a way. As soon as he touches the ball, that energy is glowing. The ball is glowing.
You can see it glow. Like you yes. can the off of the pass, you can see like the comet tail. Of energy kind of streaking from the ball.
And everyone's just like, ooh, I got to move it now. Ooh, yeah. next one. Ooh, and that's why him and like Jaime bring such creative juices because they also play opposite of each other really well. Mm-hmm. Jaime likes to get inside, play inside. Yep. Nico mm-hmm. likes to play on the outside. There was one play where Nico was in the post and it was kind of, there was like 7 seconds left. He caught the ball on the inside and he was looking so to pass it. I'm like, oh, Nico talked a lot pre-draft about him loving the little post Dirk shot, fadeaway one-legged.
And I'm like, we haven't seen much of that, if any. And I was like, pull that. And he,
yeah,
I don't remember what happened. He passed it probably, but I'm like, no, Nico, pull that shit. Yeah, he brings a lot of offensively, just being a glue guy, just wanting to, you know, we talked a lot at length all season about what Kyle did. You know, RIP to Kyle in Philly, but. But you know, Nico does a lot of the similar things, but he's also 7 feet tall. So it's awesome.
Fantastic. Pablo, you mentioned it early on, like he finally got some fourth quarter minutes today. Spo has just been playing my boy. Like you get your first chunk of 6 minutes in the first quarter. You get this same chunk of 6 minutes in the third, and then that's it for you, buddy.
Nicky's morsels, boy.
Right.
Nicky's nuggets, goddammit. You better take these. And like
that's all we got.
And we don't, again, that conversation coming up in a second. Someone on the timeline asked me, like, what is it with Spo with that? And I think that some of it, especially for like him, a young guy trying to keep his confidence at a good place, trying to keep his self-esteem kind of at a good place. I feel like a chunk of that is Spo like giving him good quick bursts, but taking him out before he has time to like mess up in a way that would seek to maybe fuck with his self-esteem a little bit. You know, I'm going to let you go balls to the wall for these good 6 minutes. Cool. Oh, you're having a good time. Love that. Come here. Come sit with me for a little bit. But Pablo, we did get fourth quarter minutes from him today. Did you see anything that felt particularly different with him on the floor in the fourth versus, you know, when he's not on the floor, kind of just in general?
I just like how he pushes pace. He's really him and Jaime are like the only players that really like off a rebound will push pace to get the offense flowing right away instead of slowing down and setting in. And I think that's good for a team, you know, like being able to be good off the bat to get a team like the Thunder. How would you say it? I forgot the word right now, but to be able to like, just you go on. To be able to go on the fast break and catch the defense off guard their fast. I think that's what he brings to this team. Like that's like outside of his passing, that's his best attribute. He's always looking to push pace. And in a game where you're struggling on offense, you need anything you need. And I think in that fourth quarter, we came off scoring a bit better than the third quarter. And I think that is thanks to Jovic's fast pace, just his natural fast pace offense. And also, Kevin Love not being here, Bam playing like shit. I think Spo was forced to play Jovic in that game. And a team like the Thunder, you can play Jovic at the five. There's no true big man outside of Chet on that team. And Jovic is stronger than Chet.
That's what I was going to say. Like I talk about it all the time. Like there's differences in size. There's height, there's width, there's strength, you know, all these things. Like you said, there's no real big man. Chet's long as hell, but he's not as strong as Nikola. So, you know, to your credit there, you can get away with playing the Nikola there.
Right.
But he impressed me. I mean, he's not scared of shooting the three and he's not scared of passing. I just think with more time, this is one of his best experiences in the fourth because he barely ever plays fourth quarters. I think he's going to earn more trust from Spo and we're going to see him play next to Bam a lot more in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Frankie, what'd you have?
So this was Nico's third game of the season playing 30 plus minutes. Pablo mentioned it's a good matchup for OKC. He also did it the first time against OKC. The other one was the Milwaukee game where they blew him out and by 50 points. So and that was, but Nico, I'm pretty sure Nico started that game. You mentioned Chet, Pablo. Nico finished with seven points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. Chet finished with 7 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block.
We win. Nikola wins. We win.
Or 3. My bad. I was looking. No, never mind. He finished with 7 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists.
Oh, wow.
Nothing else. Okay, I was looking at. I was looking at the wrong. At another Chet. Williams, just like Eric Reed.
Oh. Oh my god.
Jovic, Chet was like, he was a ghost today. And I feel like that's our defense is really good. We just suck on offense from a really good amount of times.
Nikola had 5 rebounds in the first quarter. Like,
yeah, he was active.
These these things, these be the things. Even if they're tip outs, even if they're like, I got a solid box, I can't get it, tip to Caleb, you know, stuff like that matters. All right, we're going to close up here. And this is a little bit more of a meta question. And I want to ask each of you, Tiff, I'll start with you. I mentioned it a little bit when I just talked about Nicola. Tiff, you mentioned the essence of it kind of when we talked about Patty earlier. And I tweeted this earlier today. This team has, while might not be respected around the league or whatever, this team has what a good trained eye might want to call like an embarrassment of usable pieces. They have a lot of guys who can give you something in any particular moment for which it calls. And kind of to the Nico conversation, it feels like Eric is trying to do his best job at getting each of these guys in for whatever 4, 5, 6 minute stretch they can, balls to the wall, like maxing them out kind of in that chunk of minutes and then getting them out because we have another 8, 9, 10, depending on the day, you know, guys we can go at. And this is without Tyler being here. What are, and we'll go around the room, Tiff, I'll start with you and then we get out of here. And Kevin. What are the advantages of that? And then what are the disadvantages of that? And I guess, there's nothing else to talk about after the disadvantages. That conversation will take itself through. But what are the advantages of having, I guess, versatility or like all of this shit at your disposal? And then how does that bite you in the butt a bit too?
I think the advantages are, which we've seen over the last 5 years, is that this team is injury prone. So we've been able to have some guys step into roles and help them stay afloat. So we've seen that over the last 5 years, which is every team would kill to have that. Yeah. For me, there are two key disadvantages because we got a lot of guys who could do a lot of things, but not a lot of guys who could do all the things.
Correct.
And then the other side of that is every player on this team thinks he should be playing more than he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a disadvantage because you need guys to all just play and just play whatever role that's going to come to them.
But Tiff, you know, it's good. You got guys that are hungry. Guys want to compete. It's important to them. You know, it's good that guys think that they should be playing more than they are.
Well, I mean, I think that's cute, but it's like, what is the what's the end game?
Yeah.
Because realistically, and Frankie, you'll get this. And I don't know if you guys will get this or not, but like, are we just satisfied with Jimmy snapping his fingers and resetting everything every season? Because that's what's happened.
Yeah.
That's how we end. That's how we've been ending every season, with the snap of the fingers, and we've been resetting. Or are we trying to get to where everybody else keeps getting to ahead of us? Like, that's the whole point. So we got 100 different forwards. But we don't have, and I'm not counting Jimmy in this. We don't have one forward who can legitimately go out there every single night and give us 27-5.
Yeah.
Nope.
We don't. Shit. And couple that with really good defense.
I'll take 10-7-5 at this point.
But what I'm saying is, if you had that, then guess what? It's about 6 of y'all ain't seeing the floor. So we can.
I was going to say, well, maybe we do, but that guy, whoever that person is only getting 7 minutes or whatever. Like to what you just said, if we have it, the rest of y'all.
We could legitimately say, though, this is why you're not playing.
Yeah.
So we haven't built this reputation of guys to say, you know what, this is probably why you're not getting as many minutes as you are, because consistently so and so is giving us this.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. And I also just kind of think that you are, no matter what we think about Duncan, Tyler, Terry, Patty, who else am I missing? As far as the guard spot.
DeLon.
I mean,
Terry.
We got a lot of guards that could do a lot of things. But the reality is that we got a lot of guards that can score. We don't have one guard who can take the head off of a snake.
Yeah.
So it puts you in this precarious situation to where I got to bring you out and bring Caleb in. I got to bring you out and bring Hamish in.
Yep.
So while Caleb can score, not fluidly, but he can score, Hamish can do something. Neither one of them are giving you ideally what you wish a guard would give you coupled with their defense.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the hell we got. And I don't know what the hell we're going to do. And I just keep saying it, and I'm going to say it again, Heat fans. Please, stop waiting on Captain Save-A-Ho. It's not happening like that this year. You're getting the blueprint. You're being shown that this is going to be a team. It needs to be a team effort.
Yeah.
And I need Bam to wake the fuck up.
Bro, please. Pablo. You got all these pieces, and then you got all these goddamn pieces.
We have a lot of guys, but we don't have a lot of guys, if you know what I mean. Like, we have a whole bunch of people that can do the same thing, but we don't have that one special player outside of Jimmy that can like bring you that offense whenever, like, fucking just play, just whoever's on you, go and score. We don't have another guy. We have a lot of guys, but no guy. You know what? It's so hard to explain, but it's just we need another, like, just give me the ball, take over. It can't just be Jimmy all game. If we had someone that could come off the bench and do that, you know what I mean? They didn't both have to start, but if we had someone off the bench that was a guy.
So if you want to left, and we could just go ahead, Pablo.
I want to throw back a little bit to 2022 when Hero came off the bench for us. He was averaging 19, 20 off the bench, and he was our guy off the bench. That was probably one of our best, I think, offensive years. And it's not hard to see why. We had Jimmy controlling the starting lineup, and we had Hero coming off the bench going against bench lineups. And with offensive issues can be solved if we had a guy off the bench, and we don't have a specific guy off the bench to score like that.
Frankie, we got a lot of guys, as my boy Ricky Goodman on Twitter says, we don't have enough dudes. That's his thing. He say dudes, you know, win some of these playoff games. We got a dude and a half, and then a quarter of a dude also, but that motherfucker's never available. Frankie, all these pieces, but only five can play at a time.
We've got a lot of pieces, but not a lot of versatile pieces. Definitely not a lot of size in those pieces. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something, you know, I agree with Pablo and Tiff about needing some more, you know, you got DeLon, who's a defender. You got Tyler, who's a scorer. You got Duncan, who's a shooter, and expanded his game a little bit more. But you don't have one guy who can do more than that, like multiple things. You don't have a two-way guard, really. You don't have you have a like three small forwards in that are really good. That every really team small. That can play for every team in the league, and Jimmy, Jaime, and Caleb. But none of those guys are taller than 6'6". And none of those guys are 230 pounds of muscle who can play with long wingspans and athleticism that can play size up. Those are guys, Jaime, you want him to stay at three and you want him to be a help side defender. Jimmy, you want him to take advantage of small guys. Caleb, you want him to guard point of attack. They don't have that guy who can size up at the wing spot. Nico's my biggest hope for that.
I'm just trusting. I'm hoping Spo. I'm waiting for Nico. Spo does these things where he trusts these guys, and then at the end of the season, playoffs, that guy gets no playing time. Sometimes, like, just because he fucks up too much. That was Duncan in 22, and he went from starting 68 games to not playing in the playoffs. And I'm hoping Nico's not that guy. I'm hoping he take the lumps, let him get it, because he compliments Bam a lot. Yeah. And this team needs that size and that shooting. And you saw a lot of the season has been really good with Kevin off the bench. And he's 30-something. He's 30-something.
35.
And he's not going to be – like, he hasn't been able to make it through this whole season.
He's not a young 35 either.
No.
That man's – that he's damn near 40.
Exactly. And but we all knew that. We said that in the beginning of the season. We can't rely on him. We need Nico to come take that job, or they need to get somebody to fill that job. I felt this fourth quarter, you saw some potential Nico there growing into that backup spot. So having him with that size can really change some things. I still think there are too many similar pieces, too many, like, you got too many Skittle packs. You need some steaks here. You need some variety in your diet here. There's way too many Skittles on this team. And I think that, and I hate it because the fucking front office does this shit like every so often. Going back to the 30-11 team when they had 7 or 8 shooting guards that were all hunting for minutes, but they were all 6'4". And I'm like, what are we doing, guys? Or big 3 days when they had 5 7-foot centers who could not play with each other.
Right.
And you know, they just got to do some shuffling, some rearranging, but I think most importantly for the main guys, they need to look in the fucking mirror. And that starts with 13, that starts with 14, and that starts with 22. Because if they're going to be the mainstays, they need to make some adjustments.
Yeah. So my quick thoughts on it, I agree 100% with everything, you know, all of you all have said. And it's like, it's this weird mix of like a bunch of similar pieces and there being not much overlap between the pieces at all, or like not overlap in the good ways, like not overlap in the functional way. So it's like I need Terry out here because I need him getting like darting to the basket, but I need Duncan out here because I need him as a motion shooter. So those are my two backup spots. But okay, all right, damn, I'm being played in this real deep drop and I need someone who can kind of handle wiggle in the middle. Like I could use Tyler out here, but damn, I really, really need to get to the basket, but I also really need to space the floor from my guard spot. And it's like you have all of these pieces who, you know, who plug really specific holes for you and can lend themselves in other areas, but kind of not really. Like, so like Caleb and Haywood. Caleb is my rip and go, don't think about it too much, fluid finisher around the basket, still got some hitch in the shot, on ball defender. Haywood, guy back here, I'm cool shooting in the corner, guarding up for me. But damn, I wish I had the both of you in one so that I could get two of these other really specific skill sets that I need out on the floor. Mm-hmm. And Tiff, you call it, you know, the Voltron all the time. We need all of the pieces to stack at once. But the problem is we need all 12 of these pieces to stack at once. And I can only play 5 pieces at a time. And it's, I don't know. And I just wonder how
you can't even get 5 guys like consistently that will complement each other either.
Exactly. We can't even get a starting line, you know.
Yeah,
the most consistent we've had is Jovic in the starting lineup. I feel like this whole season it's been Jimmy, cool Bam, me. Jovic, Duncan, and I guess you can say Hero. No, Bam, Jimmy, Jovic, Duncan, and then either Hero or Tyler.
But
or Rozier.
The interesting part is it doesn't matter if when you sub you lose something.
And every sub is an addition of like maybe one and a half things, but it's also a loss of something really important. It's tough. And like I said, I don't know how tenable it is to keep giving, you know, guys 4, 5, 6 minute burst and, all right, I'm squeezing as much as I can get out of you. And I'm getting what it is, but at the same time, damn, the dude that I'm about to stub you out for, I really, really need to get him in too. So go ahead, you're on a little bit of a roll, but you know, I need you to come sit with me because I need this stop. Oh, you're getting great stops. I need buckets. Ah, it's not a punishment, but just come holler at me for a sec, you know? And it's tough, and it's really like half glass half full, glass half empty, because, you know, on the one hand, it is, you have all of these different pieces at your disposal. And I think Spo is adept enough at, he's doing a great job of getting the piece in and out. Come, do your job, be efficient, come out. Be ready to come back in, do your job, be efficient, be ready to come back out. But then it's also like, damn, you wish you had more pieces to the point of, you know, being able to do more things at once. So I just, it's a, they're going to ride with the group that they have through the rest of this season, through however long this playoff is. But, you know, I don't know if it's through consolidation or I don't know how it happens, but just the idea of consolidation for the sake of, I can't play all 12 of you at once, kind of has to happen. But I just wanted to kind of have a little bit of that conversation, because it just, the addition of a guy like Patty just exacerbates it even more. You know, you need that skill set on the floor, but I want him off ball. I don't know that I want him necessarily handling the ball. He'd be great handling the ball. I can get you off some PHO stuff, some Duncan Patty split action types of things. But like, I probably want a lead handler out there. And DeLon, we ain't seen DeLon since he's been here. Like the two games, Terry's coming aboard. Tyler is not back yet. You have all of this stuff.
Yeah. I found it interesting that they staggered Patty and Duncan. I figured they would do some of that, but they like did it completely. And it was because that second unit really needed a shooter, and Duncan can't play 48 minutes, and they didn't have another shooter. They still haven't trusted. They haven't really thrown Cole to the fire at all.
It's not happening. You can't add another arm to the body.
I know,
but I'm saying, but before Patty, I'm saying that was a thing. Yeah. Because I found it, you know, Pablo, you talked about the 22 season when they had a lot of success. A lot of that was just like, hey, let's trust the 10-day guy. Let's trust the 2-way guy. Right. Those guys played a big role. Kyle Guy gave them great minutes. Nick Stauskas gave them great minutes.
Oh, man, Kyle Guy.
They haven't been able to find that same success this season.
We need to combine DeLon Wright and Terry Rozier to have 1 point.
Bro, you could combine DeLon, they need to do the fusion Terry dance.
Shout out.
Patty.
Rest in peace, Arkira.
Yeah. If you could combine, like, DeLon, Patty, and Terry – into one, but then that's where you get, we should have got Dame. So
if we combine them, we keep our other pieces. That's the point.
That is the point. Yes,
that's the
important
point.
Caveat to
that's right. Like people
fuck depth because I just put 3 and 1, so I don't need the other two because they're in the one. but yeah, we're gonna go ahead and get out of here. I think what do we have? We play Saturday, Sunday. I think we play the Wizards Sunday. We ain't gonna be here. and yeah, man, wind it down. We closing the season out. What are the standings right now?
I don't know, but Jordan Poole looking real good off the bench. So we better be ready. I'm just saying we better be ready.
Sometimes a square just is a square. Stop trying to put a square into a circle. A rectangle slot is too damn big for that square. Put a square in a square slot.
The Heater in the 6th seed right now.
Out of the plane, baby. Let's go.
Barely, if we won, we would have been in 4th. There's too much volatility. Like they gotta.
Oh no! If we would have won, we'd have still been 5th because Orlando won too. Orlando's. We would be a half game behind Orlando.
Yeah.
Oh.
What about we won today and yesterday? Because I thought there was, but over the last couple of days there was some space to move into 4.
There was, but We're a game and a half behind Orlando at 5, yes, and we're two games behind New York at 4.
Okay.
We actually need to put a streak together to actually put separation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no guarantee. Like,
that's why these games against Washington are important.
Matter.
And I know it's gonna be a close ass game too. It's definitely gonna be a fucking gritty ass game.
Three I'm out tell of y'all this.
Hold on.
Go ahead, Frankie.
Real quick, Tiff. Three out of the next four games are Wizards and Pistons. they need to win all three of those.
They need to win all of those.
Yeah.
All games matter.
Yeah. Man, we got to lose two of them.
That's the title of the show. All games matter.
Boom. Write it down, Pablo. Take it. Tip, what were you about to say? We're gonna get out of here.
That's it. All games matter. Respect your lineage.
And I'm out. This mother. See y'all.
Good night, guys.
Peace.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.